everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a furry friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful binturong. This, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to Marlena, or to Marlena. Thank you for taking the time to send in your request, and I hope that you enjoy your very own episode. For how to request your very own animal episode, and for all of the facts that were used in this one, you can either go immediately to the description or the show notes, or you can wait until the end, in which I will cover both of those things. For those of you that love the show and would like more of it in the form of intro-free episodes and other exclusive content, you can get access to all of that for as little as $1 a month, and you can support the show you love at the same time. For all of that, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts or click on the Patreon link in the description. And now let us begin to wind down a little bit. As always, I have three primary exhortations for you. The first is to put on a comfortable pair of running or hiking shoes. We are definitely going to be needing that where we are going. And the second thing I would like to encourage you to do is to notice perhaps where you are carrying some tension. Is it in the head? Is it in the shoulders, in the arms? Regardless of where it is, my exhortation to you is the same. Do your best to relax whatever it is that is tense for you. It might be helpful to bring up in your mind Jell-O. Just give your best Oscar award-winning impression of that Jell-O. And the third thing I encourage you to do is to give your mind permission to wander and journey with me into a dense forest in Nepal where the binturong resides. Our world is so profoundly musical, you would be hard-pressed to find a single square inch of this planet in which there is not some creature singing a song, or a tree seemingly stretching its limbs, or even where wind is not blowing in its rhythmical way. And I am going to be quiet once more to give you an opportunity to recognize what is different about what we are listening to today. What we are listening to is the night orchestra. We are here in this dense Nepalese forest at night because the creature that we are searching for is nocturnal. That means it is going to be doing most of its hunting, its walking around during the night time, and so it is going to give us the best opportunity to see one of these in action. The animal that we are looking for today is the binturong. Its scientific name is the Arctictis binturong. That former word is a mix of the Greek word arct, which means bear, and ictus, which means weasel. The latter portion of their scientific name, binturong, actually has an entirely unknown meaning, and so the only thing that we have to go off of for their scientific name is bear weasel. The binturong is actually also called the cat bear or the bear cat. It is a cat-like omnivore of the civet family, and it is found in the dense forests of Southeast Asia. So while we are here in Nepal, we could be in India and Bhutan. We could also be on some of those scattered Indonesian islands of Sumatra and Java, and all the way eastward to Borneo. This creature has tufted ears, shaggy hair, and a long bushy tail. Their hair will be predominantly black, but will have this little bit of a sprinkle of whitish hairs scattered around. They are about 60 to 95 centimeters, or about 24 to 38 inches long, and that is excluding their long and bushy tail, which is a similar length of 55 to 90 centimeters, or about 22 to 35 inches. They seem to be a size that is slightly less than a medium-sized dog. That is simply my assessment, but they are not too big and they are not too small. These creatures are nocturnal, as we have learned, and they are also something known as crepuscular. I do not think that in the history of this show we have covered that term crepuscular, but what it means is that this creature is active during twilight. Twilight is that time in which the sun is just below the horizon. This is the position that the sun is in when we see those amazing views. Those views when all of the trees and the sky becomes mixtures of yellow, red, and blue. So the binturong really knows when to get up for lunch. These little creatures live in trees, but rather than jump from one tree to the next, they need to climb down to the ground and cross from one tree to the next. And so we are going to be able to spot them at their crossing. You may notice that when they climb, sometimes they climb face down. The reason they are able to do this is because of their semi-retractable claws that they have on their paws. They also have their tail, which in addition to being quite bushy, is also prehensile. That distinction of prehensile just means that they can use their tail to grip things. Having that extra limb to support themselves is going to be really key in their life in the trees. Now, one article puts it this way, and I like it very much, that they look like maskless raccoons. Raccoons always look like bandits because of the coloration of their fur on their face. It gives them a mask and makes them look like they're always up to no good. But the binturong looks like a raccoon without that bandit mask on. It is like a raccoon that instead of engaging in thievery or burglary, it just works a 9-to-5. The binturong has tufty whiskers and eyebrows. They have very thick and muscular bodies. And on the tip of their prehensile tail, they also have a little leathery patch. This gives them a lot of extra traction as they climb, as that leathery patch catches a lot better on bark than their fur does. And when they walk around, you'll notice that they walk with their flat feet, just like bears and humans. But keep in mind that while the binturong has the colloquial name of bear cat, they are not actually closely related to bears or cats. They are more related to other small cat-like mammals like civets and fosses. Both, by the way, great candidates for future episodes. Now, one remarkable fact about the binturong is that they are commonly described as smelling like buttered popcorn. Now, this is not because the binturong pulls some kind of popcorn heist at local movie theaters. Their urine contains a compound known as 2-acetyl-1-pyrrolidine, and this is exactly the same compound that makes buttered popcorn have that distinct smell. And so, of course, the next question that maybe some of you are asking is, why is it that their urine ought to smell like buttered popcorn? Now, the binturong, like many other creatures we have covered on the show, use scent in addition to their other modes of communication. The skunk, for example, uses their scent as more of a defense mechanism, but also of a way of communicating back off. And so the way that the skunk uses their scent, if it was to be described as a mode of communication, would maybe be comparable to a slap in the face. The binturong uses its scent in a slightly less aggressive way, by marking their area. That which smells pleasant to us, which is buttered popcorn, is actually a marker to let other binturongs know that they are trespassing on their territory. It is something like a sign that says, enter at your own risk because you are on my turf now. And so as they walk around, they drag their tail through the branches that they climb on and on the ground, leaving its scent behind. I find it a wonderful fact that there is a creature out there that basically paints the forest in a smell of buttered popcorn. If there was ever a keystone species, I think this is it. But in addition to making the Nepalese forest smell like a movie theater, they actually play a very important role in their environment. They ingest a great deal of seeds through their diet, and so they help spread the seeds by going to the bathroom. They are intimately connected in replanting the forest that they are eating. They also help with pest control or population control because they catch and eat rodents. As with every animal that we have covered on this podcast, the binturong plays an invaluable role in its environment. It is part of an intricate balancing system and an integral part at that. They do not only use their very distinctive scent for communication, they also use audible noises. And in fact, they are quite the noisy creature. They can chuckle or snort or even purr. The noise that they make when they are in fear or if they are being aggressive is not one that is particularly pleasant. It sounds like a cat-like scream or a howl or grunt, but it is about the noise that you would expect. And now during the night time in which we are looking upon these little creatures, they are going to be doing their hunting. They eat quite a varied diet that can include carrion, eggs, leaves, plant shoots, birds, fish, small invertebrates, fruits, small mammals. In captivity, binturongs can enjoy things like dog food, biscuits, carrots, yams, potatoes, bananas, and according to the San Diego Zoo, their favorite seems to be grapes. We can see here that the binturong is not exactly the most picky eater, and good for them. Their anatomy, however, is quite interesting because they look like carnivores. They have sharp teeth, they have claws, and they will eat fish and rodents and birds, but they seem to enjoy mostly eating fruits and berries. Perhaps this is because they are simply less work. You don't have to chase a blueberry, at least not the kind that I eat in Canada. Honestly, with all that we have learned about Australia over these 100-something-odd episodes, if they had running blueberries, I would not even be surprised. Now, if we were to wait a few hours until the sun crested over and gave its sunshine, the binturong would be high up in the forest canopy, basking in the sun and sleeping. They will groom themselves up there, just like cats do, nibbling and licking their fur, cleaning their face with their paws, and they will even get manicures up there as they scratch their claws on the tree trunk. They can mostly enjoy their day because other than humans, the binturong really has no known predators. We could probably reason ourselves to the fact that the binturong is an often solitary creature in the wild. They only really come together to mate, and the mothers will only stay with their children until they are big enough to fend for themselves, which is on average between 6 to 8 weeks of age. But this is not always the case. Mothers have been seen to stay with their young as far as 2.5 years old, until their young are able to have binturong babies of their own. Now, one of the most amazing facts about the binturong, other than the buttered popcorn part, is that the female binturong is one of only a few mammals that can experience something known as delayed implantation. This mechanism allows the female binturong to time her own birth. She can wait until the environmental conditions are up to par. Perhaps she is still looking for a nest. Perhaps there is some kind of a food situation. It is no worries for the binturong. The females are actually dominant over the males. They are about 20% larger and heavier, something that is not as common, especially in the animals that we have covered on this show. And the baby binturong, or remember, the shruggle, is born with their eyes sealed shut, and they will be in the thick fur of their mother for the first few days. Between the ranges of 6 to 8 weeks, they are about the size of a house cat and have begun to eat solid food. And the last fact before we move on to the name of this creature is that they have a funny habit of lying in particular ways. They can sometimes be seen balancing and lying across a branch with all of their 4 feet dangling down. These guys really know how to lounge. And now, unfortunately, there is not much to be said of their name. The word binturong comes from a local language that is no longer in existence. The source language is completely lost, and so deciphering why their name is what it is a matter of pure speculation and impossible to say for sure. This is simply the way languages work, and a lot of words are like this. And now let's move to the charity of the episode. The charity of this episode is AB Conservation. I believe it is a play on words of some sort, A, B, and then C, but it is conservation instead. This charity has been in full swing for about 7 years, and they have been behind many scientific projects, studies, protection and awareness programs, and many other similar things. It is all to protect the binturong. And so I will leave that charity link in the show notes or the description, and if you want to support it, you are encouraged. And now let us move on to the review of the episode. This review was written by Pythagoras is the Man, and Pythagoras is not writing all the way from ancient Greece, but rather all the way from the United States of America. For those of you who are unsure of who Pythagoras is, though we have already established that Pythagoras is indeed the man, you have likely already been acquainted with this philosopher. That familiar formula of a squared plus b squared equals c squared, that formula that we have termed the Pythagorean theorem, is of course due to Pythagoras. It is amazing so many of those geometric principles that they figured out so long ago. But anyways, this is an animal podcast, not an ancient philosopher podcast. Pythagoras is the Man writes, "This podcast, hosted by the love child of Bob Ross and Steve Irwin, takes you right to the homes of your favorite animals and some you may not even know of. Once there, you get to know them as your shoulders relax and a smile you just can't help appears. Great job. A real good podcast that skips through the top of a very long queue of podcasts I love." Thank you, Pythagoras, for that wonderful review. Just saying that makes me chuckle as if the ancient philosopher is leaving a review on my 21st century podcast. I am so glad that you enjoy the show and that it helps you. I'm not sure if I can accept that distinction of being a love child of Bob Ross and Steve Irwin. Those are quite the pants to fill, but nonetheless, I appreciate your kindness. If you love the show and it helps you, leaving a review like Pythagoras did is one of the best ways to help the show grow. It is one of the quickest ways to truly give back to the show. It allows me to know what you like, what you don't like, and most importantly, it allows more and more people to find the show and join us on our journeys together. So following the show, subscribing to it, leaving a rating, reviewing it, all of those things are amazing. If you would like to send in your very own animal request for a future episode, you can do so by going to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and clicking on the Animal Request tab. If you are worried that there is some long queue and that you will not be chosen for a long time, I believe Marlena sent in this request quite recently. Episodes are not chosen on a chronological basis or first come, first serve. If that was the case, there would be something like a 2 to 3 year wait list for an episode. But animals are chosen on a random basis, and so whether you wrote in 6 months ago or whether you wrote in yesterday, your episode could be the next one. If you would like more of the show for only $1 a month, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts or just click on the link in the description. The resources that were used in this episode come from nationalzoo.si.edu, animals.sandiegozoo.org, britannica.com, wired.com, animalia.bio, and abconservation.org. All of those resources are in the description. This episode simply would not have been possible without all of their contributions to the corpus of animal facts. I encourage you to search out those resources to your heart's content. What an amazing creature we got to cover today. A truly unique one. How many creatures do you know that smell like buttered popcorn? I can think of precisely one. I hope all of you have enjoyed this episode as much as I have, and I look forward to seeing you on the next podcast episode with the next animal. Take care.